Hi there. In this lecture, we're going to be taking a look at financial worries for seniors. The financial worries that seniors face are very real and they're very significant. I was telling you about those friends of mine last time, and a couple of them all three of them were members of a certain union. As they were driving their truck and so on, and they have their retirement savings all tied up with the union pension plan, and that's all well and good, except that that pension plan is due to run out of money, literally run out of money for thousands of former truck drivers. By 2025. That means they've only got about four more years and then the checks stop coming. And it's the main source of their income as seniors. So for them, the financial worry that they don't want to talk about is, what do we do when the checks stop arriving? I just want to look at some of the financial worries for seniors with you this time. Life expectancy in the United States from 1860 to 2020, there's this graph, and you can see how it has been on a general incline up for these 160 years. And back in 1860, life expectancy was 40. Now, I happen to be 68, and we didn't get to that life expectancy until about 1950. So when I was born, the typical person born that year could expect to live to be about 68, which is the age I am now. And so with increased medical care and with better dealing with issues that arise from aging and with our illnesses, we have managed to keep stretching the life expectancy, except in the last decade, it has slipped down just a little bit. So we've kind of reached the top of things, which is at 78, 79 years old. That's the life expectancy now. The reason I put this up, though, is because I think this helps us to see why ministry to seniors is so important in this era. It didn't used to be until about 1980. There really wasn't a large cohort of people in any given congregation who were what we would call senior citizens. Most of the people who would have retired, most of their friends had died, and so there weren't that many who were older anymore. And this also has created issues in the church because, again, until 1960, you know, even there, it was 70 years old, it was in 1960 for life expectancy. Today, I understand, you know, as I look around and I look at the elders who are leaders of a church, most of them are 70 to 80 to 85 years of age. The younger people are allowing the older ones to be in charge, and yet that often is causing some real issues in the church because we don't know why young people are leaving. Well, one reason young people are leaving, in my mind, is because the senior citizens are making sure that the church remains exactly the way they want it to be, and they really don't think that they need to do something to make sure that the grandkids keep coming, because the grandkids should just be there. They don't need to be coddled, or whatever the word is. Instead, we want to coddle the senior citizens. And so we have challenges, and I think ministry to seniors is one of those challenges that needs to be met head on so that we can meet the spiritual needs of those who are living longer and having more issues in their lives as they get older. And one of them, of course, is financial issues. One of the most troubling issues that face seniors and about which they do not wish to speak is running out of money. Now, this isn't just running out of money before the next paycheck. This is just plain running out of money. Now, when my father was a little kid, he set off to work because his parents needed him to. He was 11 years old when he started paying his own way in the world. And he worked and worked and saved and you know, did all kinds of little job here, little job there, so that when he died at 88, he had paid his own way all the way to the end. And he was that was something that was very important to him, that he had managed to earn his living, and that he worked until he was about 85 in order to accomplish that. But when he died, there were five of us children, and his estate amounted to about $250 for each of us. So he had just over $1,000 left when he died. So he was very close to what we would call running out of money. But he had made it all the way, and that was a privilege for him to be able to say that he had done that. Now, sources differ, but the story remains the same. According to a 2018 study by Northwestern Mutual, that's a life insurance company here in the United States, they're based in Wisconsin somewhere, 21% of all Americans have no retirement savings at all. That's one of every five Americans have no retirement savings. An additional 10%, so that gets us up to 31%, have less than $5,000 in savings. Now just imagine that. 31% of all Americans have less than $5,000 in their savings account. And a third of baby boomers, these are the people who, like me, are moving into retirement at this point. A third of the baby boomers currently in or approaching retirement age have between nothing and $25,000 set aside. That's all. One third of baby boomers, people going into retirement at this point, have $25,000 or less, all the way down to nothing set aside for retirement. They're hoping to live on Social Security, and they're keeping on working. That's all that they really can hope to do. Yeah, so one third of those born between 1946 and 1964 have $25,000 or less for their retirement. But financial experts advise that the average 65-year-old should have between $1 million and $1.5 million set aside for retirement. Yeah, that's the financial experts. Most of us live in quite a different world than what the financial experts advise. However, what we do need to understand from the financial experts is that it takes money to live in retirement. And we really need to be thinking about that. And as you minister with senior citizens, it's a bad problem for us to try to deal with the fact that there's not enough money. And, you know, that figure that I just had there is that the problem with that is that most people still struggle to survive day to day. In fact, only 12% of Americans in their 60s and 70s have $1 million or more in their nest eggs, according to a new survey from TD Ameritrade. That's a stock trading house. Only one out of eight Americans in their 60s and 70s have that 1 million more or more. So not only on the bottom end do we have about a third of senior citizens who don't even have more, over 25,000, but on the top end, we don't have 12% who have enough money to live out their days without running out of money. So what that says to me is that 7 out of 8 live with the fear that they're going to run out of money. It's only 1 out of 8 retirees has the amount that it's estimated they will need to live out their days and have something left over for funeral expenses. The fact that retirees, senior citizens, do not have enough money to live out their days weighs heavily on their minds, on their shoulders. They don't know where the money is going to come from. And that affects how they live before the face of God. That affects how they live with each other. It affects what they can do. There's just so many ways that senior citizens need someone to minister to them who dares to help. And maybe all it is being able to talk about it, just to be able to say, you know, do you ever think about what you're going to do if the money runs out? Not many people want to talk about it. Boston College Center for Retirement Research did a survey some time ago, and what they discover is that 8 in 10 middle-income boomers currently have some debt. Now, this is not, do I have money set aside? Do I have retirement savings? They're looking at debt, and they found that 8 out of 10 of the middle-income boomers currently have some debt. 3 in 10 devote more than 40% of their monthly income to debt. 30% of boomers spend more than 40% of their monthly income trying to pay down debt. 25% of boomers in the middle income area have a mortgage with more than 20 years remaining on it. And more than half say they intend to enter retirement debt-free, but only 1/4 of retired boomers are actually debt-free. Federal Reserve data suggests that these are the average debt levels by age. From 18 to 23, people are racking up almost $10,000 worth of debt. Then from age 24 to 39, that debt increases significantly to $78,400. So that's how deeply debt. And then they get to age 40 to 55, and they're even deeper in debt, $136,000 in debt. And these are people who need to be setting aside money in order to be able to retire later on. But they're instead using much of their income for debt service. When you get to 56 to 74-year-olds, it's almost $100,000, $97,000 of debt that they're carrying. And it's about $41,000 for those who are 75 and older. Now imagine that. $41,000 of debt. If you see somebody 75 or older, you can safely assume that if they're an average 75-year-old, they have $41,000 of debt, let alone having money to live on. This is a deeply stressing thing for senior citizens. And it's an opportunity for caring for supporting in the midst of that, because psychologically and spiritually it is such a burden that they're carrying. So as it turns out, senior citizens defined in this data as those over the age of 70 are an increasingly debt-burdened demographic and have been becoming one for quite some time. Between 1999 and 2019, that's a 20-year span, according to the New York Federal Reserve, debt among older Americans increased by 543%. That was the biggest increase in any demographic segment. So people over 70, between 1999 and 2019, their debt increased by 543%. So let's put it differently. If they owed $100 the average one owed $100, by the time 2019 rolled around, the average senior citizen owed $543. And all you have to do is take that up into the thousands, and pretty soon you realize the amount of money owed by senior citizens is staggering. So currently, according to data from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, the total debt burden faced by seniors 70 and older has grown to $1.1 trillion. That's the debts of senior citizens 70 and older. If you jump down a decile, a decade, the situation is much the same. Consumers in their 60s have seen their debt burden bounce up by 471% in that 20-year time to $2.14 trillion. Add those two numbers together and you find that people age 60 and over owe $3.24 trillion to various creditors. Not only do senior citizens not have savings, they owe over $3 trillion of debt. And that's a burden. It's a deep spiritual burden that they carry. And it's something that, as we minister to seniors, we need to be aware of, because, you know, to make a suggestion that somebody, let's all go out to dinner together to a nice restaurant. There's going to be several who might be willing to, but they shouldn't, because they're already in debt and they don't have enough money to pay their bills. And why should we add something onto it? We need to be careful and aware and sensitive to how things are for the senior citizen. Ministry for Seniors can't overlook the fact of the debt burden. It's one of the more depressing situations seniors find themselves in. And one of the issues is nobody wants to admit it. We do not want to talk to somebody about our debt. It's just too difficult to talk about it. We don't want anybody helping us with our personal financial situation, because we're really too embarrassed to admit that situation that we are in, that we have failed to plan. And because of that, we find ourselves burdened with a huge stack of debt. And then add to all this, it's saddening to discover that seniors, particularly, are the target of a host of scams that are taking seniors' money away. You know, some examples of ways unscrupulous people are taking seniors' money: Medicare insurance scam by means of a phone call. I get these all the time. Hello, I'm calling from the Medicare office, and I need to tell you that we are cutting off your Medicare insurance because we sense that you are being fraudulent with it. And now, if you want us to help you fix this, please, you know, do this, this, this. And usually what it amounts to is, if you send us, you know, $2,000, then we'll make sure that the accusations of fraud and Medicare insurance fraud will go away. Well, that's not real. And they just take that money. Others are producing counterfeit prescription drugs that they sell to seniors over the internet. You know, you can buy this and that and next thing, and it's counterfeit. They're not real. And so this is a very significant danger to senior citizens who need the right medications in order for them to have a good life and have their health maintained by means of these prescriptions. There's funeral and cemetery scams where people will market things to to a senior citizen as a way to pre-plan their funeral and to sell them a cemetery plot, and they have done that for many other people with that same cemetery plot over and over and over again, and they get paid about $8,000 or $9,000 so that their heirs do not need to worry about final expenses, and then when they die, they discover that this thing they thought they had was nothing. There's telemarketers who are constantly focusing on the senior citizen, because senior citizens often don't understand what's going on. There's investment schemes. I'm invited, as a 68-year-old, I'm invited to all these free dinners at a nice restaurant with some investment companies, and they're getting you there so they can tell you about their investment strategies for senior citizens and how they can save you tax money and so on. And I've gone to one of them and I thought, my goodness, this is a scam. And my wife, being the brave person that she is, called them up after we were there and said, you know, what you were talking about just isn't right. And they quickly told her that, well, you know, it probably isn't right for you, and so on and so on. But sometimes people get taken by these investment schemes. And then the really sad one is the grandparent scam, where somebody gets a phone call. Hi, this is your grandson, so-and-so, and I'm in London, and I got arrested, and they're not going to let me out of jail unless you send $3,000 of bail, you know, this afternoon. And so the grandparent, being the loving grandparent they are, rush to the bank and wire the money, and it's never seen again. And actually, their grandson was not in London at all. Whenever somebody gets taken by one of those, the sense of loss and embarrassment is just awful. So what could we do? Well, I think one thing a church might do is to have an accounting student that they hire to just help with seniors' taxes. It's often confusing to a senior and can be a source of embarrassment when handled by a child. The student will cost a little money, but the gratitude of the seniors will be great. And most seniors' taxes are very simple to do. And so an accounting student would get lots of good experience just helping seniors with their taxes and keeping it from being a source of embarrassment when they're talking with their children and they have to open up their finances and show their child how they've been taken advantage of, or how they have failed to save enough money. Maybe you could set up a service where an experienced bookkeeper helps seniors make sense of their financial situation. Money, debt, so on. For many people, these are just a source of befuddlement, and they don't know quite what to do. And one reason to pursue this as a church or ministry is because there are so many scammers who will take grandpa's money and disappear. And you and I don't want that to happen to those that we care about and we minister to. So financial issues for senior citizens will be something to ponder as you minister to seniors. What ways might you think of to open up the discussion with someone? Think about it. Catch you next time.